Welcome to the Down and Dirty Podcast, the ultimate guide to modern midlife dating. I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and I'm here to help you navigate the challenges of today's dating world. Think of me as your female version of Hitch, but better. With over 16 years of experience as a certified image consultant and dating coach, I've got the inside scoop on what women want. In this podcast, we're diving deep into the world of healthy masculinity and modern dating. It's a fast-changing industry, and here you'll find personal stories, expert insights, and candid conversations that will empower you to take control of your dating life. There's never been a better time to achieve your desired outcome, whether it's marriage, finding a significant other, securing a life partner, or simply regaining your dating confidence. We're here with you twice a week to explore the viewpoints and challenges in today's dating arena that resonate with every man seeking dating success and love. So let's dive into today's episode. We've got an exciting discussion lined up for you. Get ready for the Double D's of Dating, where dating dilemmas turn into dating triumphs. What if someone said to you that you could have more time, more freedom to do the things that you love, and more financial security? Would you? Well, I would say, hell yeah, sign me right up. Really quick, don't forget to follow me on Instagram, Celeste Moore Image, so you don't miss out on all the great tips that I get to share with you. My guest today, Carrie Veach, uses neuroscience to teach clients to rewire their brains through mindset work, solution-based coaching, and nervous system regulation tools so that they know they are worthy of everything they desire. Have you ever wondered why you don't have everything that you want in life or how to get it? Well, guys, today, Carrie is going to give us some insights on how this is possible. Carrie, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks so much for having me, Celeste. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, and I'm so interested in the subject that you coach on, because I think that we've briefly touched some things on, mindset, but really not. We haven't really delved in how important that is to really creating the life that you want. So I would love to know if there was a significant moment in your life where you decided that this is the career path for you. And if so, what was that? Or why was that?
There's been so many. To me, there's not one standout moment, but mainly I was an executive director of a nonprofit. And that was where I learned my business sense. I was really good at helping other people always. But I learned there's a whole world out there where you can create your own opportunities. And I'm just a big fan of creating your own quote unquote luck. And my background is in therapy. I have a master's in counseling. So I've always been intrigued by why people do what they do and how to change. But I never knew that I could combine them into a business and get paid for using my gift.
That's awesome. I have a similar story with my gift. I was like, what? People get paid for this? This is so much fun.
Exactly.
So I totally get it. And I'm glad that you were like, wait, no, let me pivot. Let me just try this on my own. Okay. I love that. Thank you. What are some of your methods in which you help people get what they desire in life?
So one of my main things is, which you touched on in the opening, if you are not getting what you want and you're putting in the work, there's something subconscious going on. Mm-hmm. Because how many people do we know that work hard, that have dreams, but they seem to keep being in the same place? They're always complaining about not having more money or more time. And so really, for me, it's so much about the inner work. Of course, I can teach you strategies. I love business. I love entrepreneurship. But at the end of the day, it's really figuring out what's going on underneath the surface that's preventing you from getting what you want. So one of my favorite super simple exercises that anyone can do is really just these two questions that have changed the game for so many of my clients. And that is, what am I afraid of if I have more than enough? Ooh. And what am I afraid of if I have more than other people?
Wow, those are powerful.
And at first, it's funny because I had a client come to me and at first she's like, I'm not afraid of anything. And I was like, okay, cool. And then we just talked about it more. She did some journaling. She comes back a week later. I get it now. And there's usually stuff going on that, you know, relates back to childhood or to older memories. And we have stuff in our subconscious that's holding us back from that bigger vision that we have. Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that you ask those questions versus lack of, because I think there is such a barrier of, oh, I'm going to have to do more. I'm going to have more responsibility. And just take a vision of someone that already says the story in their head is, I don't have enough time, right? So, okay, well, if I become more successful, that means I'm going to have more people to worry about, more, but you know, it's just the more. So I think I'll just stay right here because I'm scared of the unknown. Yeah.
Absolutely. And our brain's job is to keep us safe, right? Like it really, really exists to keep you safe. And part of what I work with clients on and work with on myself all the time is how do I still create that safety that I need, but to know that I can expand and I'm not going to die in the process because fear is not real.
Yes, ma'am. It is not. What is the, I'm going to ruin it right now because I can't think of what it stands for. But when we talk about fear, it really means.
I forget what the acronym I've heard.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's at the tip of my tongue, but I'm going to totally mess it up. And someone's going to be like, that's not it. But yes, you're right. Fear is the stories that we have in our head that prevent us from obtaining those goals. What do you think are some of the biggest, do you think it's just those two questions that really hold people back?
No, I mean, I think there's different flavors, but I just like to start there because I think that will give you a baseline of really what you're working with. And sometimes you might have to journal on this or think through this or work with someone on this for many days or weeks at a time, because we're always in a different season of life too, right? Like I would love to tell you that I have the same fears now that I had at the beginning of my business. They're different. You get new levels of success and you have different things that come up. And so it really is just the starting point. I have all kinds of exercises and ways that I work with people. But to me, it's always the internal, right? Because you can build the most successful business in the world. But if you don't feel worthy of it, if you keep sabotaging yourself, you're going to go back to your lowest level of programming.
It's such a great point because I think that we think that it's something else, right? It's external. It's not internal. It's got to be everything but me.
And I wish it weren't true. Like,
I know.
Of course.
But no, you're right. And you also said the self-sabotage. It's very common in, I don't know, I'm just going to use the entrepreneur space because we do the comparison to other people. I'm not worthy. Different ways, like you said, to self-sabotage. What does that look like? Oh, okay. Well, I have all these aspirations, but then I'm just going to sit back because whatever it is. And it's almost like, I don't know, because I've experienced this at times as well, but I feel like you're right. It's so easy to stay comfortable. And that's when change does not happen, people.
Mm-hmm.
So mindset, talk to me a little bit about a lot of people or some people would say that that's like woo-woo stuff, right? Let's talk to people that aren't so self and, you know, they haven't really done the self-growth yet. Have you heard this before? And what do you say to somebody like that?
Absolutely. I mean, I was the biggest skeptic. I always volunteer that information. I really didn't want to believe any of this was true. And I had a really, you know, I was still a happy, somewhat positive person, but I didn't believe at the end of the day that this was what I needed to work on the most because I'm smart. I can work hard. I can, you know, all those things. And yet my favorite example is the example of Roger Bannister and the 4-minute mile. And why I love this example is because for years, no one thought it was possible to run a sub-4-minute mile. No one had done it. We had no evidence to show that it was possible. And as soon as he broke that barrier and ran a sub-4-minute mile, I forget the number, but the number of people that next year, I think it was 50 some odd people, like it was some huge number of people that went on to do that as well because they had the belief. And that to me just highlights like how much we need to work on our belief so that we can take the action, so that we can have a different set of perspectives and opportunities presented to us. But it starts with just that belief that you can even go out and do it.
Yeah. Wow. That's so powerful. Cause I'm like, you think about, well, if nobody thinks something's possible, then it's not going to happen. And the next year, 50 some odd people, that just blows my mind. Cause someone's like, oh no, if he can do it, I can do it. But I think that we, you know, it's great. Oh, I know. I always revert back to David Goggins, and I don't know if he's the original person, but that said this quote, but I always remember him like, start getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that always stuck with me. If ever I'm comfortable, I'm like, oh shit, I'm not growing. I'm not, something's not happening. I'm too comfortable right now. Like I have to physically, mentally, like, okay, I've got to push myself into that uncomfortable space because it's the only way I'm going to move past where I'm at.
Exactly. And you always come out on the other side. You feel like you're going to die in the process. Like quite literally, there's times, right, when you think about the scariest things that we've done, at least for myself, like I want to puke. I feel like my palms are sweating. I feel awful. But then I go do the scary thing and you feel on top of the world and like you can do anything.
Yes. I'll never forget. I'm terrified of speaking on stage. Terrified. Okay. I have been doing this for 2 years. I can talk to a group of people. I can talk stage for me. I blank out. Even in front of like a small group of like, let's say 30, blank out, quit, forget what I'm saying, sweaty. Everything that's going on in my head is like questioning everything, right? And I remember the first time I took stage was with Jenna and Chris. And it was literally what, a minute is where you go on stage for a minute. And it's nothing crazy to talk about. You talk about your superpower. You talk about what you're great, you know, something, a message to leave your fellow mastermind group. And even though I know those people weren't judging me, forget about it. It's like, nope. And now in September, I'm going to speak on my very first stage with a minimum of 250 people. Like, holy shit, in Vegas at this really big event. And I'm like, I have to mentally prepare myself from this day forward until September 26th. Every day I have to do something to push myself. But that's just
I love that you're pushing your edges.
Yes, thank you. I'm terrified. But you know what? I'm going to get up there. And on September 26th, I'm going to kill it. I hope, in a good way.
Of course. And then a year from September 26th, you're going to look back and be like, oh my gosh, look how much better I've gotten every time I've done this.
Exactly. Do you think, or do you tell your clients that mindset is truly a daily practice? It's a muscle that has not been used, or, you know, it's just something that I would think you would have these conversations, or what are some of those conversations you have with your clients?
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things we're not taught. So I always want to give permission of like wherever you are in your journey, like have so much grace for yourself, because we don't really teach mindset or mindfulness or these things that I think now are becoming more mainstream. But like, I didn't grow up learning them, that's for sure. And I'm a big athlete. I've always been an athlete. So I compare a lot of things to physical fitness. And never in my life would I expect to be able to lift 50 pounds heavier on just like a Tuesday without working my way up to it, right? Like I would train, I would go to the gym every day, I would put in the rep, and it would be a progression. And I just know that that is what I would need to put in order to get the output. And so the same is true with mindset. The same is true with running a business. You have to put in the daily rep, but what we have been conditioned to see now is social media and the highlight reels. And I know we all know it, but we still, like, something in our brain still click and we still all get trapped in that comparison, right? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I can't believe she did that. She was on this stage. She was on this feature, right? And like all of our inner gremlins can come up to play.
Yes, yes. I understand. I want to not do that. I like tell myself, okay, Celeste, your chapter, like Jen says, I'm just going to say your chapter 20 is not your their chapter 100 or in somehow, some way, we still do that. And that is truly, like you said, it's another form of self-sabotage.
It is. And so, yeah, it absolutely is training for your brain is how I like to think about it, right? Like you need to put in the reps. And this can be so simple. Like I went through a period of time where all of my clients were busy moms. I don't know. They were just all busy moms, which I am not. But at the same time, like those were all my clients. And so I was really working with my client about how do you practice mindset when you feel like you had zero time? Like mm-hmm. I had clients that were, you know, running big businesses, still working in corporate, raising small humans. Like they were so busy. And it can be catching your thoughts when you're washing the dishes and you're having some really awful things to say about yourself. It can be checking your mindset at the end of the day to be like, what went really well today and what can I celebrate? Like, it doesn't have to be this involved, you know, cold plunge whole situation where we see like the personal development bit, right? Like, it can be all throughout those little moments of your day.
Yeah. And I think you just said something so important. It's something that I talked about on my last solo is, and you know, I've heard it in the self-growth space for a long time. And I know Jen even talks about it, but at the end of the day, really focus on your wins. And they can be small. They don't have to be these big, big wins that maybe you're, like you said, you're comparing other fellow business owners or mothers or whatever that looks like, whatever your space is. And I think that's been a really big mind shift for me because for so long, I personally have spoken just terrible to myself. Like, how is that going to help my daughter? Like, know that, you know, she's just going to copy what I'm doing. And well, my mom does that. My mom did that. Like, she's not even going to think that my mom did it. She's just going to repeat and do what I did. And I think that was such a shift for me because it's like, when you can just say, you know what? For some people, it's getting up and getting dressed or showered even, depending on where they're at in life. And for some people, it is like, okay, I said what I was going to do and I did the things, like I went to the gym, I ate well. And if you didn't, if you got off track a little bit, just give yourself a little bit of grace because you're still moving in the right direction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And really just those tiny moments are what builds up. So I'm just such a fan of keeping an evidence log or a wins, you know, journal, whatever you want to create. Because we all think it's the big moment or that one big opportunity or chance. And yes, of course, those things can absolutely change your life. But they come when you do the basics well and you put in the day-to-day work.
Yeah, agreed. It takes work, guys. Just like you using an example of like lifting the extra 50 pounds. That didn't come just randomly one day. You're conditioning your body every day to get closer and closer to that goal. And everybody has, like you said, there's so many different goals and so many different things and strategies, but I like that. So I love that you said, what's it, a dream journal? No, sorry.
Evidence journal.
Evidence journal, sorry. Yes, an evidence journal. And I think that's great. What about, are you a fan or do you talk to your clients on suggesting doing a gratitude journal? Is that something as well?
Absolutely. I'm just such a fan of what you focus on expanding. So whatever that looks like for you. And what I will also say, I stole this from a client years ago. If you're not a journaler, because I think especially in the personal development space, we talk a lot about journaling. If you're not a journaler, maybe you're a voice note person. Maybe you're a video person. Like I had a client who was so auditory. And so one of my favorite questions to ask clients is like, what are we celebrating? And so she had a really big win at one point, and I told her to go put it down as evidence you know, and bank that for herself. But she did it in a voice note because she wanted to capture the feeling of how she felt after that huge win. And so maybe you're not a journaler. Maybe you are, but you want to try this on, because I think it's also a really great way to remember emotionally how you felt in those moments.
That's a great idea. I really love that. And I even like the video part. Like, I know some of us are uncomfortable videoing ourselves, but yeah, but like just to see what you truly felt like versus reading the words.
Yeah.
It's got to be so more impactful.
Yes, right? Because everything that I know, and my biggest secret to manifesting or getting what you want, whatever you want to call it, is the feeling state.
Mm.
And it's really hard for me. Like, I'm a thinker. I'm a logical person. I'm very empathetic, but I'm very logical. But this is what I know. And this is back to your earlier question. If you're not a woo-woo person, it's also science. They have proved all of this with brain scans, which makes me such a believer. Like, they have hooked people up to brain scans. Like, Joe Dispenza does a lot of work around this. And it is, of course, thinking better thoughts, talking to yourself better, but it's really getting into that feeling state from within, not waiting for the event, not waiting for the win, not waiting for the person. But how do you condition your body to feel something before it happens? And then you become a magnet for those opportunities, for those things to happen. And they have studied this with science, which is why I am such a believer now.
Well, we also, were you in Dallas at the event in mm-hmm. October? And Dr. Rewire, or Dr. Trivedi, right? He also talked about how he was like literally hooking up people to some machine to, that he could, based on all of his research, even change the outcome of how they felt about their age. Like the, I don't know if you remember that. That for some reason stuck in my head because I was like, ooh, I heard myself the other day. I went to a podcast group locally and I was like, wow, I feel like the oldest person here. Like, I know that this space is attracting younger and younger people, but I was having a conversation and someone didn't know who Guns N' Roses were. And I was like, oh, damn, I'm definitely aging myself. Right. And they're like, I think I know who that is. I was like, well, how old are you? But I guess my point is, like, I remember Dr. Trivedi saying, like, I don't know if it's actually like biologically, but like how you could turn your mindset back to feeling and experiencing youngness in your life. And I was just like, wow.
It's so wild. Yes. And the power we have within ourselves is something I personally am such a big believer in, because I gave away my power for years, left and right, right? Like, oh, I'm a victim to this circumstance. And I never would have used that language, but at the same time, that's what it was, right? Like, oh, this thing happened to me. Oh, poor me. This person screwed me over, or, you know, you name it. And now it's like, wait a minute. How do I really look at things differently? And then the feeling state, that's something I'm constantly working on and I work with clients on, but that is the fastest way I know to change your life. It's truly step into those feelings of everything you want, because everything you want is a feeling. It's not actually the outside stuff that we think we're going after, but then you'll just become a magnet to those things happening anyway.
Yes. Do you feel that surrounding yourself with like-minded people helps?
1,000,000%. I mean, I don't know. I'm such a fan of entrepreneurship now and finding your own opportunities. Like, I joked, I went through a period of time where everyone I dated, they became an entrepreneur. And I was like, sorry.
That's awesome. So you have the woo-woo magic, don't you, Carrie?
I'm just but be like sick of listening to them complain. And I was like, I am happy to listen, but do you actually want to do something about this? Because I'm not going to sit here and listen. We're going to do something.
Yeah. You take action. And I think that's the important part. So it is really important to take to the feeling. 1,000%. I saw a clip today, no lie, like 2 hours ago, a very old clip of a scientist who was talking about this, how is get in a relaxed state and feel the feelings of you in that moment that you're already there, that you are in the place that you want to be. What does that look like? What are your mannerisms? How are you feeling? How are you dressed? Where are you? And like literally visualizing and feeling it. And then I lost it. And I was like, oh, snap. I was trying to save it because I was like, this is like stuff that people have been talking about for a very long time. And the feeling is so important. Like you're saying, I totally get that. But is there a portion of that where you need to take action?
1,000,000%. I will never, ever tell you that you need to sit on your hand. To me, what the magic is, so to speak, is you will get a hit, a download, whatever you want to call it, whatever you believe in, a moment of clarity after those moments of sitting in meditation or sitting and practicing the feeling. You'll have a nudge to be like, I should call Susan. I haven't talked to her in 6 months. Or people tell me stories all the time. I've got my own tons of stories of this happening, but this is the real stuff where these things happen. And you kind of feel, I don't love this word, but you'll feel a little crazy at first. At least that's been my experience. You're like, this doesn't make any sense. I need to call who or write who? But it's when you're willing to act and not hesitate that you will see massive results happen, but you have to be willing to take that action. So yes, anyone who tells you there's no action involved, like I would love the pill that they're taking, but I just have not found that to be true.
Yeah. But I love that there's a step process of what you're saying, of like getting into those moments of complete relaxation, like shut everything down, like just try to sit with yourself and then imagine the things that you want, right? And this is truly what you teach about. It's like having the life that you dream of, that you desire, and all of these things are possible. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight. Maybe it will, right? I don't know. I've heard of crazy stories, but it's like, it's a practice. And then taking those, like you said, that the action, I think it's so important at the end. And like you said, well, this doesn't make sense. You know how our logical brains are like, well, and then you start questioning yourself. If you just take the action, then you'll, at some point, it'll make sense to you. Maybe not that exact second, but maybe a little bit down the road.
100%. I tell the story often, but my very first online client went from making $100 a month to $11,000 plus in 1 month. I can never say like guaranteed results. This always happens. But honestly, I mean, she came to me and was like, this is the most transformational thing I've ever done in my life in 4 weeks of the results that she got. And it was me just helping her to get into these states, to take the action, to follow up with her and to be like, did you do the scary thing that made you want to puke? Did you do it? And I mean, that's how simple it can be. Mm-hmm. I never think, right? It all depends on like, what kind of history do you have? How willing are you to be uncomfortable? Like, what kind of background do you have? There's so many factors. But at the same time, my biggest goal always, whether it's a client, a friend, a colleague, whomever, I just want to simplify things because I know that I can break things down and point things out to people and be like, what if you just did X, Y, and Z? Like all those ex-boyfriends that I got to become entrepreneurs because I was just like, here's a plan, let's go do it. And it really is not as hard as we make it out to be. It feels overwhelming and scary, but it's actually usually pretty simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting you say that. This is just another example. I swear, like, I don't know what's happened to me. Maybe this is from 2020, like COVID, or I'm not blaming everything on COVID, but it literally has, I want to say I'm half extrovert, half introvert, literally like half, half. And I went to this podcast, I told you this group the other day, and I like felt so awkward. It was like, when I signed up, I was like, oh, this sounds great. I'm going to meet other, like just meet another group of like-minded people. And I go in there and I'm just like, oh my God, like everybody's staring at me. Like the whole introverted part of me just kind of like wants to go into the wall. And I'm like, nope, push yourself. Like just go meet at least 3 people. And I think having that just a simple goal, like even if you meet 2 people, two new people that you can say you did. It's just like those little steps so that next time you feel a little bit more comfortable or push yourself a little bit more. You meet four people. And I don't know, for me, that seemed to work a little bit easier than setting myself this huge goal, right? That would probably be not attainable and I probably would have not gone.
Yes. And that's such a good example. And we can tie that to any type of huge goal. And there is a lot of research that supports the reason that people quit on themselves is because they do set too ambitious of goals and they don't make enough progress that they feel defeated. Mm-hmm. So I am a fan of setting smaller goals, you know, have a big vision. I think it is really important, especially if you work for yourself. Personally, it's just been my experience in clients. It's like you have to have a vision bigger than yourself or it's going to be really hard on the days where you don't feel like doing any of the things that need to get done. So you need a vision that is bigger than you. And those small things really do add up. So maybe it means you need to set a daily goal of interacting with one new person a day and that's it. And if you do that, you are so dang proud of yourself.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great suggestion. Okay, I have a question for you. What about if you don't know, like, what if you are in your own way of what is possible? How can you get, like, if you're not a part of a group that can really be like, oh, I see, that's for you. That'd be so great. This is why I love our mastermind, by the way. Not promoting it anyway. I'm just like, this is my first. And it's just been so transformative being around these like-minded people. But before that, I was seeing so small for myself. How do you coach someone that maybe you see for them, maybe you're the guidance to push them in ways that they had never thought was possible?
So the internet to me is the way through. So let's say you live in the middle of Nebraska and you have no like-minded people around you. And that's, you know, I still think there's usually some diamonds in the rough that we can find. We're just usually closed off to it is why we're not finding it. However, I get that like, take the path of least resistance is also one of the main things in life and business. Like, don't make it harder for yourself. If it feels scary to go network in the middle of Nebraska because you have no idea if somebody's going to be there, great. Use the internet. That's fine. Let's take the path of least resistance. So I am a huge fan of getting in the room with people that make more money than you, that think bigger than you do, that can call you out on your BS. Absolutely. So one of the things for me with clients is like, you can always borrow my belief. The great thing of coaching and just mentoring and perspective of someone outside of you, they don't have all the thoughts inside your own head. So they're going to see this vision for you if they're somebody who knows what they're doing, which I think so many coaches and mentors do. But just find someone you jive with and that has your best interest at heart. And is willing to ask you great questions, to have you tell stories. One of my favorite ways, right? I just did this with a client this week. She was like all in her logical brain and, you know, just a lot of mess. And I was like, hold on, time out. Why don't you, tell me a story. Tell me a story of a client recently that had a huge win and that you were so proud of and excited, you know, and like get people into the narrative. And that will reveal so much about what that person actually values, what they're good at, what they want more of. Like the more stories we can get into, the more meat we can discover with someone, I have found.
Well, yeah, that makes sense too, because then you can kind of see where their passions are, where they are drawn, like you said, where they're drawn to and where the blocks maybe could be for them.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And honestly, it's also just being willing. Like this is, you know, I don't love admitting, but like in the early parts of my journey, I wasn't super willing to hear as much feedback as I wish I would have because I thought I knew, you know? So it's like, check your ego. We all need to. And have grace with yourself if you're in a season where that hasn't been the case. Like I've been in those seasons and I had to learn lessons the hard way.
So have I, girl. I mean, I was like 2 years into date coaching and I was like, oh, my daughter threw up. She's a teenager. You know, she's like, mom, you got trust issues. Mom, you got like, every time I want to talk to you, you put a wall up. I'm like, oh, this does not make me a good coach. I mean, maybe to coach other people, but like, I got to start looking at myself too, right? Mm-hmm. Because just because I have, you know, certificates and degrees and whatever, it's like, yeah, we don't always have it together either. So
no,
we have to be coachable too. Well, I love all of this so much. And I know everyone listening here today has got to be like, okay, how can I practice some mindset besides journaling or maybe an audiogram, or what are maybe two or three more tools that you could share with the audience here?
Yeah, so I would start there. And then the other question I would ask yourself, or maybe you have to ask people closest to you in your life, but where do I stop myself?
Ooh.
Right? So if you haven't read The Big Leap, it's one of my favorite books. And the reason I love it is because most of us have a thermostat for how good we allow things to be. And when things get really good, oftentimes we start sabotaging. And so it's just a good question to check in with ourselves on of like, where do I stop myself? Do I stop myself before the big ask for the contract? Do I stop myself after I just got the huge contract? Do I stop, you know, like just gauging that and checking in with ourselves. And then the other thing I would say is like, if you notice yourself in a pattern of what, you know, that you can't figure out like why you're still in this pattern, you've started to see like, okay, I'm not hitting my income goal month after month, or I'm not going to the gym day after day. That would be a great time to figure out if you need some perspective outside of yourself. And that could be a mentor. That could be an accountability buddy. That could be a mastermind. Like, I don't really care what that is. Mm-hmm. But don't delay on getting that help, because it is wild how fast you can change when you have objective perspective versus trying to do it yourself.
Yeah. No, you make such a good point. The only people that I really knew around were a bunch of coaches in all different fields. And so I was like, oh, perfect. A coach even needs a coach, right? Even within our own field, it's like, I'm an image consultant. I also need an image consultant to come and like, oh, maybe you need to do this. Like, you know, it's okay. And I think if the more you allow, I think the better off you'll be just to be taking in, like you said, just learn. And maybe it takes baby steps, like you said, but like the more and more you allow in the space of where you're at, I think that's where the growth really happens.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, let's conclude by asking, how can people have the life they truly desire? Financial freedom, life, and having more time and freedom to pretty much have everything they want. Short answer is
decide what you actually want. Ooh. Not what the world tells you that you want. Like, that is honestly the key ticket, because also everything I know about getting what we want is you have to own the fact that you want it in the first place.
Ooh. So maybe they're not comfortable with something that they want because they think someone's going to judge them.
Someone's going to judge them. Something bad's going to happen, right? How cliche is it? But how many people do you talk to that ultimately have this fear that the other shoe's going to drop?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Yeah, get comfortable. Like, be okay with what you want. It's your life.
Yes, but we're so conditioned. So it's like, have grace for yourself in this process of uncovering it, because so much of the world tells us it's not okay to want more. It's not okay to want what you want. But the more okay you can get with your desires, the more space you have to actually invite those in and to create the life that you want and that you're happy living. Because if you're creating someone else's life, you're going to be miserable.
Yeah, at some point you're going to like hit a wall and be like, this is not what I want. I did that for this person, or I did that for that person. That is such a commonality. I wish it wasn't in people's lives. And it usually happens like midlife. You're like, it's no midlife crisis. It just means I'm done living what so-and-so wants me to live, and I'm going to start owning who I am.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, also, I would love to give you the space, Carrie, to share anything that you would like to, maybe something I didn't ask that you want to share, or just tell people how to find you so that if they're going through these, you know, pains of not getting what they want and desire, and that they can possibly find you and maybe have a consult with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So the main thing I would also say as another exercise slash fun way to call in your desires is to write a letter to your future self. So I find, you know, there's a lot of spaces that do this, but if you're not in the habit of doing this every 6 to 12 months, I would highly encourage you to start. And it doesn't have to be anything super elaborate. You can do it however you want. I'm just a big fan of using present tense and, again, getting into that feeling state. So you write it to yourself. The cool exercise you can do is use futureme.org, and it's a typed version. It'll send it to you. So let's say you pick 6 months from today. I'm going to send this letter to myself. You pick the date, and you'll forget about it because time will go by, and you'll get this email, and you're like, what is this? And it's from your future self. So I really like that one because so often we're creating a life that we don't even realize we're creating. So why not create by design?
Yes. So beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
And then how can people get in contact with you?
Yeah. So you can get in contact with me on Instagram. It's probably the easiest way. I would be happy to do a discovery call, or you can find all of my content there. It's setyourselffree.llc on Instagram.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all your beautiful expertise. And until then, till our next show, keep exploring, tuning in to the beauties of life. Thanks, everybody. Bye. If you enjoyed today's episode and want to support podcasts like ours, then please hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating, and or invite others to listen. Your support is what helps us grow and continue to bring you valuable content. Thanks for hanging out with us on today's episode. Let's stay connected. You can find me on Instagram at Celeste Moore Image, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on today's discussion. For all the links, resources, and additional information mentioned in this episode, check out the show notes on my website, celestemoore.com. That's all for now, but stay tuned for our next episode where we'll dive into more exciting topics. Until then, see you next time, friends.